The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. And in this parable about the shrewd but dishonest servant, the Lord, as our master, is most generous with his forgiveness. Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is the gospel of our Lord." We join Christians throughout the world in confessing our Christian faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, remember these words from our gospel lesson. Jesus said, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches?" Friends, this morning's parable on the person who is this considered the shrewd but dishonest manager is not one of the more popular or well-understood parables of Christ. Let's put it to you this way. If I asked you to write down a list of just a few of Jesus' parables that you remember, maybe that have made an impact on your life, and then ask you to prioritize them, your favorite and all the way down to the least. Well, just think about some of them. You've got, like for example, the parable of the sower of the seed. A really, really good one. You probably remember it. And the points, spiritual and otherwise, that it tries to make. Just last week, we talked about the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. A couple of good parables. Now, unfortunately, if you have been following the scripture a little bit, we went from that last week, we skipped right over the parable of the prodigal son to the one that we had for today. Now, keep the parable of the prodigal son in mind, because I'm sure that's also one of our favorites. Well, if you're like most people, if this parable even gets on the list, it's on the bottom. And indeed, when they've made surveys just like that, almost invariably, every person puts this parable of the shrewd but dishonest manager on the bottom. Why? Well, I think there might be three things that work here. Number one is that the minute it uses a word like shrewd, well, what is that? You know, maybe you've also gotten in this church or in another one of those spiritual gifts surveys. I may not be a great fan of that, but you've seen them. But regardless of whether you've seen one or not, I am yet to see amongst the different gifts that you can list where you could maybe like help out the church or something like that. I have never seen listed on one being shrewd, nor have I ever seen anybody write, what is one of my spiritual gifts? I'm rather shrewd in it. Never seen that, not even once. But then there's also the whole thing about people don't really understand this parable. I mean, is Jesus maybe intimating a little bit here by commending this person for what he did that may be a little bit of embezzlement and theft? That's what this is acceptable? And ultimately, it is one that just the message of where Jesus is trying to go. It certainly wasn't lost on the Pharisees and in the lives that they were living at that time. But it might be lost on us. And in some ways, that's not such a bad thing. But I think it would help to give you folks some perspective this morning if we've never heard this before. Because I heard a couple sermons growing up where I knew no more about either this parable or about what spiritual shrewdness is all about. Let's spend a few minutes on that. When I was young, once in a great while, we would take the trip into the city. It was on Thursday night. That was the only night the stores were open late. My parents invariably had some things that we had to go get. And invariably, we'd go out to supper someplace. And one of my favorite places to go was this one pizza parlor. Their pizza was okay, but their service was kind of slow. And one night when we were in there, it was particularly slow. And this was one of these places, and just they tried to set up one of these old pub-type places. So there would be signs everywhere, and the words ye old and old with an E on the end of it were just everywhere. But then back by where you paid, because what would happen is as soon as your pizza came out, then you would come out and you would have to pay for your pizza just as you were getting to the counter. Back behind there had always been a sign that talked about something about a red star. Well, I never thought it was ever all that important, so I'd kind of ignored it. Well, that particular night, the service was really slow. It seemed like that pizza just took forever. I don't know if they were trying to set you up an ambiance or what it was, but it was just taking a long time. And it got to the point my dad really didn't want to go up and have to talk to them, so he sent me up. And I just went up, and just as I'm getting up there, a pizza was coming out, and he was going out and said, well, whose name is on that? And looked down and said, mentioned my name. And then they sent me to the cash register to pay for the pizza, and I'm asking my dad to come up because I think I was like 10 when this happened. When out on the slip that's generated to pay for the pizza was a red star. And for the first time, I had to look up on the wall and see, well, what does a red star mean? It means that your pizza is free. And they didn't have computerized things. And I don't honestly know how the cash register knew how often to put a red star on something. For all I know, they had come to the conclusion that we'd waited too long and somebody just pressed a little button on the cash register and there it goes. But you felt very, very special, receiving something far more than you ever thought you'd get, something you weren't expecting, something you really didn't do anything to deserve. That's what God does when he's working with us. And if we are focused here on this dishonest servant, we're focused on the wrong thing. Nevertheless, we take a look at what happened because, you know, we are people that do like to be able to receive more than we thought we were going to get. But at the same time, we chafe a little bit when there's less. If you are due a certain amount of change that includes a $10 bill and you're only given a $5, well, if you are even slightly paying attention, you are going to let somebody know about it. But I wonder how many of you, when the reverse is true, have ever done that. I'm pretty good at math. I know how to keep track of things. And yeah, there have been some times where I've had to, no, trust me, when you count your money for the till at the end of the night, you're going to want this thing back here. And I've had to do that a time or two. But all of that seems to have escaped the individual in our text for this morning. When you look at what this person was doing here, after he finds out, and there's no question, there was no argument, this guy had been squandering his money. And if you want to know how bad this is, I'd earlier mentioned the parable of the prodigal son, which was right before this one. It might help you if we put these two parables side by side, this morning's and the prodigal son, one which I think you know well. In both cases, we had somebody who was doing something that was utterly irresponsible. Something that, you know, in a spiritual sense, the kinds of things that we find ourselves sometimes with our sinful natures, it clings to us, doing that we know we shouldn't do. And yet there it is. In both cases, there was either a father or a master who, even as he waited for his son from a faraway land, from a distance, the son was probably even asking for more than he should have been given, considering what he did to his own father and to the wealth that the father had worked so hard in his life to build. And yet, not only does he go past accepting the son's request to make him a hired servant, he restores him completely to his position as son. He throws a party for him. Well, this morning, when this master found out what this person had been doing, he should have, and he had every right, to throw him in prison, and then all these little markdowns that this person was doing. He had never asked for permission from the master to do that. The master was well within his right to cancel every one of those. And yet, what do we see? We see another example here where the Father, the Master, and who, of course, is our Lord God, Heavenly Father, he ends up doing something that, in a human sense, doesn't make sense. He accepts this person's deductions for all of his customers without any further comment, and then he commends this dishonest servant for shrewdness. Well, friends, sometimes our Lord has a way of taking the worst things that we've done in life and turning it into something where all of a sudden the Lord has made it an instrument for good. You see, this is what the Lord does. It is so unexpected, we just don't even know what to do. He starts when we're children, and he calls us his very own and makes us his children in the waters of holy baptism. But he doesn't stop there. Then he goes on, and in our lives, he equips us with all of the things that we need for both body and soul. But he doesn't stop there. And then he goes on and gives us things we couldn't even imagine. Friends, do you understand just how rich the Lord has made you today? Let me use this as an example. I know I don't have a lot of children in church this morning, but I can only imagine that there are some children out there that once the sermon starts getting a little long, maybe like now, that all of a sudden, if they have this little smartphone with them or a tablet with them, all of a sudden out it comes. And because now we have internet access here, even inside the sanctuary, they start fiddling with it. Well, I'm not commenting on whether we should or shouldn't be doing that, and I think we know what the answer to that is. But you know, 100 years ago, all of the kings of the world, all of the richest people in the world could not have gotten one of these and could not have gotten it if they'd had one to do what it does today. We have so many things, my friends, that we take for granted. We have not the slightest idea. All of these things that we use every single day without thinking, it doesn't have to be a piece of electronic equipment. We have things that we use every day, like we turn the faucet on and on comes the water. Or as what happened overnight, and I found out that one of our faucets had already been left running. So be it. 500 years ago, no one had anything like that. Friends, you have more than you could ever understand of what God has given to you. And it's all for a purpose because God doesn't stop there. What are you going to do with it? See, we have people who have a bunch of stuff. And maybe sometimes it's pretty valuable stuff, or at least it was. And now it's in a box, in an attic somewhere, in a storage unit someplace. Really valuable stuff that it's just collecting dust anymore. Is what God has given to you collecting dust? Are the blessings that He continues to shower upon you doing nothing? Because this is what spiritual shrewdness is all about, that whatever it is that happens, whatever it is we have, whatever it is that we are to use from a physical and spiritual standpoint, God has a purpose behind it. And He wants us to understand what it's there for. And He wants us to be spiritual responsible. You see, Jesus had a way, whatever it is that Jesus did in His lifetime, it was always, shall we say, shrewd. Not what you would expect. Sometimes Jesus could add humor to a situation. I only imagine what it was like when He was looking up at tiny little Zacchaeus who could only stand behind people, this former tax collector. And finally He says, we're going to come to your house today. Sometimes He would add bluntness as He did to the Pharisees at the end of the lesson. Whatever it is that Jesus had to do, it was not what people would expect, but it is what they needed. This is what God does to every one of us. And it's why He felt the need to share that, so that we can also be spiritually shrewd. You know, there are businesses that people like to frequent. You know, businesses that people prefer to go to and not to go to. And when it comes down to what businesses do I use, sometimes I get some raised eyebrows for some of the businesses that I choose. Like, there might be these four grocery stores that almost everybody uses. And here I am going to the one that nobody uses. Why would He do that? But I've come to learn that in times of great need, I've come to learn quickly who will sometimes be among the first of the people to come out and help in ways you could have never have imagined. And some of these corporations that of the businesses that I have done business with, that is exactly what they do. They might be the last that people would go to, but there's a reason that they are there. And I love to be able to take advantage of it. Friends, God has placed us into this world to be a reflection of His grace and mercy. When we allow God to use us in this way, those who dwell in the darkness of this world can be transformed into children of light, children of the Heavenly Father. And you yourself have an opportunity to open up to a whole new world, even far beyond anything you could have imagined. Why? Because for everything God has done in your life, He doesn't stop there. He has even more. May we be shrewd in all that God has given to us as we remember the most important thing that He's given to us in the death and resurrection of His Son. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go, lift up our hearts to the Lord God, who answers our prayers for Jesus' sake. Almighty and most merciful Heavenly Father, You have created all things by Your powerful word. You have decided the history of every nation. You have directed the life of every human being. We acknowledge Your rule over all things, but we come confidently before You with our prayer and praise, knowing that You are our loving Father in Jesus Christ. We give You thanks for Your openness as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. We thank You for the daily blessings which Your goodness provides, for the plenty which in so many ways You generously give, never stopping at that which we would expect or even understand. You make the earth rich and fertile. You bless the labor of mankind. You open Your hand and satisfy the needs of Your whole creation. Your name is great, O Lord, and Your mercy is marvelous. We give thanks for Your abundance as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. We thank You above all for the wonderful gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. He has done something totally unexpected. Through His death, we have been set free from the slavery of sin and death. Through His resurrection, we have been made citizens of heaven. Grant that as we live out our earthly life, though we do not deserve any of Your goodness, we may be given the power to purify our lives through the Holy Spirit, to set our hearts on things above, and to look to use all of that which You have given us, that it may serve You, and also those people You have placed into our lives. We give thanks for Your heavenly people as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Keep Your church alive through the power of the gospel. Fill it with Your Spirit so that all may serve You with cheerful and sacrificial love. Help all Your people to follow the example of those who are leaders in the new life of the Spirit. May the youth and all the members of the church consider everything else as inferior compared to knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. Help all of Your children to love and follow Christ with joy and gladness. We give thanks for Your Spirit who gives us faith as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Give us a quiet confidence to all who are troubled in body, mind, or spirit, by granting them a strong faith in Your compassion and a sure trust. We ask now Your blessings on all of those that are homebound, that are in hospice facilities, rehabilitation facilities, or in any need of the special help that You can give. We now lift up before You someone in our own life that is in need of the comfort and strength that only You can give, that we name before You in a moment of silence. Support these people with Your strength. Deliver them by Your goodness that they may always rejoice in Your fatherly wisdom and care. We give thanks for Your physical and spiritual healing as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. And because the day of our final salvation is now nearer than when we first came to faith, help us, O God, to turn from the things that belong to the darkness, so that when our Lord returns, He may change our weak mortal bodies and make them glorious like His own. For this and all other prayers that we should ask for, we ask in the name and for the sake of Him who is our Savior, Lord, and King forever, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we have conclude on page 9 with the unison prayer, closing, and benediction as we close in prayer together. Generous God, when we are poor in spirit, you come to us with generous love and mercy. For the abundance of forgiveness we have received by Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, we give you thanks. Shape us into a people who reflect your generosity in all our words and actions, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.